the gospel writers, they had a sort of a wealth of material to choose from when they came to writing their gospels. And they chose, you know, which bits they were going to use and how they were going to construct their gospels according to the things that they thought were really important to get across. You might think that Jesus' birth would be, you know, a pretty important thing to record. Mark didn't agree. So Mark, not a mention of the nativity at all. John, kind of a slightly sort of cryptic, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's about as close as he gets to sort of a narrative about Jesus' birth. So they clearly didn't think that his birth and the story of his birth was really important, so important they had to include it in their Gospels, like Matthew and Luke do. But all of them record Jesus' baptism. Isn't that interesting? That means they all thought this was important enough that everyone needed to know about it and about what happened. And so, even though in the church calendar, the baptism of Jesus, after all the excitement of Christmas, it kind of almost kind of slips past unnoticed sometimes. But the fact, I think, that all four Gospels record it means that we really do need to think about it and ponder on it quite carefully. This season is Epiphany. And it's all about revelation. Things about Jesus and his identity and his mission being revealed to different groups of people. And his baptism reveals important things about him, which we all need to know. When Jesus comes to be baptized, John the Baptist is shocked. You kind of heard that, didn't you, in his response there in Matthew's Gospel. He knows who Jesus is. In John's Gospel, we read him hailing Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who is mightier than John, who John would say, "I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals." This is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so he says to Jesus, "Hang on, this is the wrong way round. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And Jesus' answer is quite cryptic, quite mysterious, but it holds the key to what is unfolding here. "Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Now that is not a throwaway line. Something deep is being revealed there. Something about how God fulfills his promises, how he fully identifies with those that he's come to save, and how he will fulfill his intention to renew the whole of creation. So firstly, Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness because it fulfills the promises that God has made throughout the scriptures. The prophets, like Isaiah, foretold the one whom God would send, his servant, his Messiah, who would be filled with his spirit, who would, with gentleness and compassion, did you hear those words about, you know, a bruised reed he won't break, a smouldering wick he won't snuff out. He brings healing and justice, but with great compassion, not just for Israel, but for the whole earth. And John the Baptist, he stands in the line of those prophets. He's called people to repentance, and he's literally prepared the way for the Lord, as Isaiah foretold. And so Jesus' baptism is not some kind of random event, but very much part of this unfolding plan of God's. When Jesus steps into the water, he's affirming, rubber stamping, validating John's message and John's ministry. By being baptized, Jesus shows that the time for fulfillment has arrived. This long season of waiting, waiting for deliverance, for restoration, for God to act, has come to an end. This is why the heavens are opened, the Spirit descends, and the Father's voice is heard, because this isn't a private spiritual experience for Jesus. These are public signs that God's promises are being kept. The voice from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." They echo that prophecy of Isaiah's. Jesus is revealed as this promised servant, the promised Son, the one chosen to bring justice and salvation. And not just about righteousness as sort of morally good behaviour. It's about God's faithfulness, God's righteousness, his faithfulness to his covenant. Jesus fulfills all righteousness because he perfectly enacts God's faithful commitment to save. And that is baptism. God declares that everything promised through the law, through prophecy, through hope, is now being gathered into this one person. And then, secondly, Jesus fulfills all righteousness by fully identifying with humanity, with us. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But we know that Jesus didn't need to repent because he hadn't sinned. And yet he chooses to stand in the same river, in the same water, among the same crowds with everyone else. And again, that is not just some random thoughtless act. Instead, it reveals the heart of God. Jesus doesn't save from a safe distance. He doesn't redeem us. He doesn't redeem humanity by standing apart from its brokenness. Instead, he steps directly into it as he steps into that water. By submitting to baptism, Jesus identifies himself with those who are confessing their sins and longing for a new life. He takes his place alongside them, not above them. In doing that, Jesus shows us that righteousness in God's eyes is deeply relational. It's about him having that solidarity, that humility and love. Jesus fulfills righteousness not by avoiding human weakness, but by entering into it. And the river becomes a place where God's grace meets human need. And Jesus stands precisely at that point of meeting. This identification also points forward, because Jesus' baptism sort of pre-echoes, is that a word? Not really. Anticipates the cross. Just as Jesus enters the waters with sinners, he will later carry sin to the cross. Just as he descends into the river, he will descend into death. And just as he rises from the water, he will rise from the grave. The baptism is this first sort of public sign that Jesus' mission will be one of sacrificial self-giving love, where salvation is achieved not through power or separation, but through shared suffering and radical compassion. And then thirdly, Jesus fulfills all righteousness by revealing God's intention to fulfill his promise to renew and sanctify the whole of creation. This scene at the River Jordan is rich with imagery which might ring a few bells. Water, spirit, a divine word. They come together in a way that kind of echoes those verses right at the beginning of Genesis, where the spirit hovers over the waters at the dawn of creation. And in Jesus' ministry, we see creation recognizing and responding to its creator. Jesus could control the wind and the waves with a word. He didn't sink in water. Water bore him up. He could heal by just a word, but at times he chose to touch the untouchable to show that the dead, the diseased, the unclean didn't make him unclean, which is what the old law would have said, but rather they become clean again. They become alive again by his touch. By entering the waters of baptism, the water didn't sanctify Jesus. It was the other way round. He sanctifies the water. Ordinary river water becomes the place of divine revelation. God chooses to act not apart from creation, but within it, affirming that this sort of material world matters to God and is also included in God's salvation plan. As we read towards the end of the Bible, you know, creation is not discarded or escaped, but we find out at the end of Revelation, creation is renewed. The Spirit descending like a dove, hovering once more over the water, suggests peace, new beginnings, and restoration. It points to a new creation beginning to break out into the old. Jesus' baptism isn't just about human salvation, but about cosmic renewal, the restoration of all things. In Christ, God begins that work of healing what has been broken, not only our relationship with him, but the whole created order. What happened at the Jordan River was so important that all four gospel writers recorded it. Because there, Jesus is revealed as the one who fulfills all righteousness by being exactly who he is, the faithful Son who keeps God's promises, the humble servant who stands alongside sinners, and the bringer of renewal to a weary creation. His baptism reveals the beginning of a ministry that's shaped by obedience, compassion, and hope. And ours too is a call to trust in God's faithfulness, to walk humbly alongside others, and to work for the care of this precious creation where God is also still at work. Jesus' baptism reminds us that righteousness is not something we achieve alone, but something God fulfills among us through Christ for the life of the whole world. Amen.